24, Cyprus. Bernard Stone Street, uncharacteristically sour and detached, is passing the head of the stairs as she reaches the third floor, his upthrust thatch and immaculately disheveled black suit reminding her all too clearly of her previous visit.
"Hello?" he says, with an instant's confusion. "I'd wondered where you were, meeting Hubertus and Dorothea."
"Looks like it."
"Is everything all right?"
seeming concerned at her tone. "Dandy," she says, biting it off between her front teeth.
"It's a bit of a surprise, isn't it?" lowering his voice slightly, though there's no one to hear. "Dorothea, I mean."
"What about her?"
"He's bringing her in as client liaison for graphics, entirely counter to the way he structured it in the first place, always insisting on the designers working directly with the client."
Bernard's mouth has gone a bit narrow telling her this.
"Though, of course, she's experienced."
He shrugs, the beautiful black shoulders of his suit jacket moving expressively.
"She gave Heinze notice this morning."
"When was she hired?"
Stone Street looks surprised. "This morning. I've only just been told."
"Where are they?"
"The room where we met. There," indicating a door.
She steps past him, opens that door.
"Good morning."
Big End is seated where Stone Street had sat before, at the head of the long table. Dorothea is seated to his left, down the table's side toward the door, closer to Case, Boone opposite her. Neither Boone nor Dorothea say anything. Case closes the door behind her hard.
"Case," Big End begins.
"Shut up."
It isn't a voice Case has often heard, but she knows when she hears it that it's her own.
"Case," Boone this time.
"What the fuck is going on here?"
Hubertus starts to open his mouth.
"Did you just hire her?" pointing at Dorothea.
"It would be too much to expect you not to be angry," Dorothea says with the utmost calm.
She's wearing something soft-looking in a very dark gray, but her hair is straining back as tightly as ever.
"The man," Case says, turning to Big End in mid-sentence, "who tried to mug me in Tokyo."
"Franco,"
Dorothea interrupts quietly.
"Shut up."
"Dorothea's driver,"
Big End says, as though that explains everything. He looks, Case thinks, even more self-satisfied than usual.
"Mugger," Case says.
"And what did poor Franco do when he encountered you?"
Dorothea asks. "He ran."
"Terrified," Dorothea says. "The doctors in Tokyo told him that if you had been an inch shorter, you might have killed him. The cartilage in his nose might have been driven into his forebrain. Is that the word? He is concussed, has two black eyes, has to breathe through his mouth, and will probably require surgery."
The lightness of Dorothea's delivery stops Case as much as the content.
"He isn't driving now," Dorothea concludes. "Certainly not for me."
"Is he mugging, then?" But it's not the same voice. Something is back in its accustomed box now. She misses it.
"I'm sorry about that," Dorothea says. "If I had been there, it wouldn't have happened. Franco is not so heavy-handed, but someone was demanding results."
She didn't shrug exactly, but somehow conveys the impression of having done so.
"Case," Hubertus says, "I know you're upset, but would you sit down, please? We've just been having an extraordinarily fruitful meeting, putting our cards on the table. Dorothea knows a great deal about what's going on, and all of it seems, concerns you directly, very directly, as her business with you predates the Heinze and Pfaff project, or at least our meetings here. Do sit."
Boone, Case notes to her considerable resentment, looks attentive but absolutely neutral, sitting there in his old black coat, some kind of major Chinese guy poker face going on. He looks as though he should be whistling, but isn't. Case feels herself make a decision, though she couldn't say what exactly it is, pulls out the chair at the end of the table and sits, but without putting her legs under the table. If she needs to stand and walk out, it's one less movement.
"Boone," Big End said, "decided that it was necessary to tell me about your interactions with Dorothea, what you knew had happened and what you supposed might have happened."
"Supposed?"
"Correctly supposed, in every case."
Big End leans back in his chair. He needs the Stetson now, she thinks. He started to play to it.
"She was very rude and unfriendly. She did burn your jacket.
She did send Franco and his associate to burgle your friend's flat and install a keystroke recorder on the computer there. She did deliberately expose you to an image she knew would unsettle you during your second meeting here, and she did leave a toy, again meant to frighten you, outside your friend's apartment. Your friend's phone is also bugged, incidentally, and Franco has followed you at various times, including your stroll with Boone during your first meeting together. And, of course, in Tokyo. Case gives Boone a look she hopes will be read as, "I'll get to you when I have time." Then she swings back to Big End. "And? What, Hubertus, knowing that you hire her?" "Yes," Big End nods patiently, "because we need her on our side. And now she is." He looks to Dorothea.
"Case," Dorothea says, "it's a career decision for me."
She puts a particular stress on career that might once have been heard more often on religious.
"Blue Ant is where I need to be. Hubertus knows this."
"But Hubertus," Case offers, "what if Dorothea is..."
"Yes?"
He leans forward, palms flat on the table. "A vicious, lying cunt." Big End giggles, a deeply alarming sound.
"Well," he says, "we are in the business of advertising, after all," he smiles. "But you are talking about loyalty, not honesty. And I have a strong yet simple faith that Dorothea can be counted on to be absolutely loyal to..."
He looks at Dorothea, his expression suddenly quite cold.
"Her career."
Reluctantly, Case realizes he may be right. He's buying Dorothea's allegiance with the one thing that literally no one else can offer her, a potentially fast-track position in Blue Ant. And as Case recognizes this, she's suddenly very curious as to what it is that Dorothea knows. "Then tell me," she says, facing Dorothea, pointedly ignoring Boone, "what Hubertus imagines I'll find so very interesting."
"I like your jacket," Dorothea says. "Is it new?"
And Case will later think that Franco, just then, had come very close to not being the only one to risk having had nasal cartilage driven into his forebrain. But Dorothea is out of immediate reach, and Case refuses to rise to the bait.
Dorothea smiles. "3 weeks ago," Dorothea begins, "I took a call in Frankfurt from someone in Cyprus, Russian. A tax lawyer," he said. "At first it seemed to be about a possible contract for Heinze, but quickly it became obvious that he required services from my previous line of work."
She raises one eyebrow at Case. "I know about that."
"He wanted someone made sufficiently uncomfortable to not accept a position at a particular firm, this firm. And you, of course, are that person."
Dorothea folds her hands in her lap.
"He came from Cyprus immediately, if indeed he was from Cyprus, and we met. He told me, then, who you were, and of course I had some sense of that from my knowledge of the business, this business. He was clearly aware both of my background and of the way I was positioned, vis-à-vis Blue Ant. I noted that carefully."
"He was Russian?"
"Yes. Do you know Cyprus?"
"No."
"It is a tax shelter domain for the Russians. It caters to them. There are many Russians there. I was given information regarding you and paid a retainer."
"Dorothea," Boone says, "I didn't want to interrupt when you were telling us this earlier, but what form did payment take?"
"U.S. dollars."
"Thank you." Boone falls silent again. "What information?" Case asks.
"When did you stop seeing Catherine McNally?" Dorothea asks in reply.
"In February." Case answers automatically, feeling her scalp creep.
"My Russian from Cyprus gave me typescripts of what seemed to be her notes."
Catherine had taken notes during the sessions in shorthand.
"From this I learned about your sensitivity to..."
"You don't need to go into that," Case cuts her off. Could her therapist have betrayed her this way? Catherine had had doubts about Case concluding it was true, but they had come to an agreement and had had a good closure. Catherine had wanted to work on her issues around Wynne and his disappearance, but Case had been living them and hadn't wanted to.
"I can't believe that Catherine..." "She probably didn't," Dorothea says, as if reading her thoughts. "This man from Cyprus, I doubt you know this sort of man. I do. It is at least equally likely that he sent someone in New York to enter this woman's office and photograph the documents. She would never know.
Note, Big End says, that we cannot date that. If you quit seeing her in February, they might have gotten them at any point afterward, up until contact with Dorothea.
Case looks from Big End to Boone, back to Dorothea. And your, she can't think of a term, mission statement?
To make you sufficiently uncomfortable that you would leave London, if possible, that you would then avoid Blue Ant, and particularly Hubertus. Also, I was to see that the software they gave me was installed on your friend's computer and to monitor your movements in London.
They insisted that Dorothea return the software they provided for that installation, Boone adds. Unfortunately, she did.
So Franco got into Damien's, put something in the computer. What about Asian sluts?
Asian?
Dorothea's eyes widened slightly, as if in puzzlement.
And he called you to tell you he'd done it?
How do you know that?
He used Damien's phone. Dorothea says something, evidently obscene in Italian, under her breath. A silence ensues. They look at one another in turn.
When they learned you were going to Tokyo, Dorothea says, they became, I think, excited. They insisted I cover you there. With my responsibilities to Heinze, I could not go. I sent Franco and Max.
They? Who are they?
I don't know. I only communicate with this Russian. He obviously works for someone. He wants whatever it was he thought you might get from whoever it was you were meeting with.
But how did they know?
That's down to me to sort out, Boone says. But Pamela Mainwaring is no longer with us, Hubertus says.
She was easy, says Dorothea.
And now, says Hubertus, standing, if you and Boone will excuse us, I want to introduce Dorothea to the designer she'll be working with,
leaving Case and Boone alone with each other.